If we're going to provide the best care possible to people through the very end of life, we have to at some point acknowledge that there's a difference between more disease treatment and better care for the people we serve.
Is there still a taboo around death and dying in the medical field right now?
You know, there is a superstition around death and dying in our culture, including in the medical profession. We don't like to talk about it. And there seems to be this sense that if you talk about it, it makes it more likely to happen. I hear families say that all the time. You know, oh, Dad, don't talk like that, when Dad mentions that he may not be able to get through another course of chemotherapy or doesn't know whether he wants to go back to the hospital yet another time. Oh, don't talk like that, Dad.
So what do you advise families and patients and just people in general?
This topic seems much more hard to talk about than it actually is. Simply acknowledge that illness and family caregiving and dying and grief are also inherent parts of human life. It's not embarrassing or shameful or in any way discouraging to acknowledge that all of us will eventually leave this life. Our challenge is to talk about it so that we know what each other wants and we can give one another the best care and support we possibly can.
Are you finding that this reluctance to talk about death and dying and kind of just abstaining from the conversation if you can help it, does that impair care in some way?
It sure does. I mean, I see people every day who have ended up in an ICU, you know, with multi-system organ failure. And when we delve into it, when we finally have the discussions with them or their families, it turns out so often that they didn't want to be there. You know, they just love life and want to cling to life, which is entirely understandable. But they didn't want the end of their life to happen in ways that are medicalized. They want the personal experience enhanced. So it does impair care, despite the sadness and often tragedy of losing someone you love. There are things during this time of life that are incredibly valuable for individuals and families. A chance to say the things that would have been left unsaid. A chance to celebrate one's relationships, to really have a sense of completion, to honor and celebrate the people we love during their final days and hours. All of those things are incredibly important. And yes, they're part of our spiritual traditions, but that's because they're part of human life. And medical care in our quest to prolong life should not push to the side these very tender, meaningful experiences in the lives of patients and families.
Let's change gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about palliative care and hospice. What are you seeing in the field? Are there any challenges right now?
Palliative care and hospice are really growing dramatically. The biggest problem we're challenged with is that a hospice care, which is a brilliant advance in health service delivery and in health care, is difficult to get in this country because under Medicare, it's not enough to be seriously ill and even dying to get hospice care. You also have to agree you are dying, frankly, something that many of my patients are not willing to do. And you have to be willing to give up certain disease treatments like cancer chemotherapy in order to get hospice care for your comfort and quality of life. Now, as the data accrues that hospice is associated with living longer, this makes no sense at all. And people rightly resist having to give up treatments to accept hospice care. This is going to require a change in regulation and, frankly, laws related to Medicare. So healthcare reform in this arena would really help us to provide the best care possible for people, helping them live not only better but longer.